errors, truths twisted into instruments of power. They show how societies punish kindness and reward calculation, turning philanthropy into commerce and morality into propaganda. They remind us that beauty and theology alike are corrupted whenever they are reduced to prestige or profit. But they also point towards something else. A universe where stars burn freely without billing us. A sea that caresses our feet without demanding payment. A cosmos that gives without reward, without applause. To live as part of such a universe is to recognize that giving is not weakness, but nature itself. That generosity is not naivete, but alignment with the deepest rhythm of existence. The title, Tricks of the Mind, is no accident. It is both accusation and confession. The essays accuse the human mind of deception, but they also confess the author's own complicity. For none of us are immune. We all fall prey to the illusions. The best we can do is notice them, laugh at them, and when possible, shake them off. What unites these writings is not a single thesis, but a single impulse. To resist the mind's self-deceptions and to seek, however clumsily, the unreasoned light that still shines through them. If this book succeeds, it will not give you answers, but provoke your questions. It will not comfort you with certainties, but unsettle you with doubts. And perhaps, if we are lucky, it will remind you of that faint, stubborn joy that comes from doing good without reason, from thinking against the grain, from seeing the world not as the mind tricks us into seeing it, but as it might be. The Law of Contradiction. It is so, and yet it isn't. A man grows uneasy when he senses that a piece of his worldview is missing, and he'll happily jam any shard into the gap, crooked, false, ill-fitting, so long as it restores that precious sense of inner comfort. Soon enough, he convinces himself of his own nonsense and elevates it to the rank of sacred doctrine. What matters, you see, is not truth, but system. Any system at all. No matter how flawed, provided it leaves no cracks for doubt or mystery to seep through. I, for my part, have always believed that since truth either does not exist, or at the very least, is forever beyond our reach, one might as well construct the most pleasant illusions possible and choose them over the harmful, bitter ones. That's the way it is, and yet it isn't. At times, the human mind reminds me of a cleaver, swung blindly in the dark by our civilization in the hope of splitting open a watermelon somewhere in the kitchen. Sometimes you hear the scrape of blade against rind. Other times, the blade hacks into our own hand, spilling blood in the form of world wars and so-called peaceful conflicts. Yet the cleaver never quite lands on the melon. And if, by some impossible accident, it did, civilization would likely fail to notice and would go right on swinging, unaware it had already reached its goal. But what if there is no watermelon in the kitchen at all? Perhaps vanished civilizations ate it long ago. Or perhaps it was never there in the first place. What made us so sure of this fruit, this truth, to begin with? The very puzzle of those lost civilizations becomes yet another phantom watermelon. And we go on hacking in vain. The risk is far greater than we'll slash ourselves and smash the entire kitchen in the process, since hacking in the dark is hardly the best route to knowledge. And yet, it seems to be the only one we know. Would it not make more sense to search for light? In the light, at least, we'd see whether there really is a watermelon, or whether we're even standing in a kitchen at all. But civilization, in its search for knowledge, only keeps swinging its cleaver at the very lamps and bulbs that might help it see, never managing to strike a match